Okay, it's a joy to be here with all of us. Good morning. Okay, great. You're all alive. After such an exciting time of worship, I think we are all alert and ready to receive God's word. It's a joy to be here with all of us. Sometimes, like after the introduction, you feel a little bit nervous, like, you know, whether you'll be able to do justice through the message, that's one question mark. Like, So, we're glad to be here with us and with Virgil and Sandra, and just to see like what you all have been doing, and just going through the announcements itself is like amazing, like, no? To just see what all things are happening right now. So, this morning I want to share something on walking in obedience, walking in obedience to God's will. We'll pray and we'll trust God that He will speak to us. Father, we want to thank you for your presence in our midst, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are constantly speaking to us, Lord. Lord, it's not just that, Lord, we need to be attentive during the time of the word, but Lord, your voice, Lord, we're able to hear and sense in our spirits, Lord, constantly throughout every day. And we pray that, Lord, you tune our ears, our minds, and our hearts, Lord, to listen to your word. And we want to submit this scripture passage into your hands. And we pray, would you continue to speak to us? Lord, we pray, align us, mold us in your purposes, Lord, and in the likeness of your Son. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. So, I want to share on this aspect of walking in obedience, and mainly looking at this incident from the life of Saul. Some of us may remember that that Samuel, the prophet, had given him some instruction to destroy, you know, one of their enemies, and those were the Amalekites. And he did not completely obey. And so we'll look at that particular passage. So I'll just give a brief introduction. Here Samuel tells Saul that you need to fight against the Amalekites and completely destroy them. But what Saul does is that, like, he kind of destroys them, but a little bit partially. Okay? But he thinks he has done the job. And before even Samuel could meet Saul, the Lord tells Samuel that I am very disturbed and pained, you know, at what Saul has done, King Saul has done. And so he says he has not completely been obedient. So that's the passage that we're going to look at. So so that's 1 Samuel 15, 20 to 31. So I'll just read this. So Saul thinks that he has obeyed, but Samuel knows what he's really done. So that's what, like, Saul is saying. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. But now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Many of us would have like read this passage over and over again. So we want to draw a few learnings from this particular passage. While I was preparing for this passage, I remembered that in a sense when I was about 3 years old. I was wondering like how come I remember when I was 3 years old, you know? So when I was around three years old, I had gone to church with my parents. And so the church got over, and then we were all kind of like, we had to walk back home. So it was a little bit of a distance, not too much kind of. So I was holding the hand of my cousin. At that time, like, my cousin's sister was staying with us, and she had just found a job, so she was staying with us. So I was told to hold her hand, which I did for a few minutes. Okay. Then afterwards, like, you know, I got excited at what was, you know, happening around and looking around. So I just let go of her hand, you know. So she also didn't realize that, you know, I was not holding on to her. And so I was just enjoying the scenery and everything and people and shops and all that. And still, at some point of time, I could still see my parents walking ahead, you know, or my whole family walking ahead. And then I'm still enjoying. But in the next 2-3 minutes, it was like everybody disappeared. Like, you know, I couldn't see any of them. And, like, you know, I went into a state of panic. I started to cry and all that. So what I still remember is that, like, I couldn't see anyone. And then some stranger picked me up and put me on his shoulder, you know. And then he started, like, walking me down the road, showing me, is this building yours? Like, is this building yours? And, you know, at that time, I think, like, every building seems like your house only. Like, you know, so I was thinking, is this, like, I think this is the one, but that's not the one. Like, you know, and so I was crying and crying. And then as he took me around, and then finally, maybe, I don't know, after 10, 15 minutes or something, I saw my parents standing next to my building. And I was so relieved, like, you know. Of course, I don't know whether I got a thrashing or not, like, no. So, but my parents are very relieved to see me, and then this stranger handed me over to my parents, and I was really glad coming back home. So I was thinking that it was almost like, you know, that movie Baby's Day Out, like a little bit like that, like, no. So enjoying the thing and all that, like, no. But as I just ponder over it, I mean, disobedience, like, or whatever. I was told to hold the hand, but I was, you know, too distracted with what is happening around, and I let go. So many times, disobedience seems very pleasurable or adventurous, okay? But, you know, it does lead us to a place of pain, you know, and, you know, it does lead us to a place of sorrow, you know, and loss, you know, at the end of it. So that's like something that we need to realize. And I was thinking that, can I say today to myself, I have grown out of it, in a sense, that disobedient, sinful nature, have I grown out of it? If I say I've grown out of it, that will be a pure lie. Okay. Now, I think because of the way I'm, you know, because of the sinful nature that we're dealing with, today we you know, sang about God, you know, delivering us from sin and giving us freedom. But still, every day is a battle. So I want to say, you know, that's my story. That is our story. And that's this story also. Okay. So sometimes you can say, oh, Saul, how can you do this? Like, oh, no, this is our story also. So just turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, this is your story also. Husbands and wives are very happy. Like, you know, yeah, this is our story. Like, you know, this is our daily story. You know, it's true. Okay. So just to give us, so what do we learn from these aspects? No, just to give us a little bit of background. Israel, kind of like as a nation, they were coming out of the time of the judges. Means they had many judges, were different kings, good and bad, more bad than good. So they had come out of that time of the judges. And now, in a sense, like Samuel, the prophet, was kind of like leading Israel. And Eli was one priest, but then Eli's sons were living disobedient lives, and so God was not happy. And so God chose Samuel to be the prophet, so that he would lead the people of Israel. But the people of Israel said, "We want a king. We want a king, like all the other nations." And so Samuel was a little bit rejected. But more than Samuel, God was disappointed. And God was telling Samuel, "They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." And since they don't want me as their king, but they want a human being, you know, as their king. So God was displeased, but God gave in to their request. And so God then appointed Saul to be their first king. So Saul was the first king. And so he began very well, because he came from the least of the tribes of Israel, that is Benjamin. And so he began very well. But slowly, you know, he began very well and doing well, but slowly he began to operate in the fear of man rather than the fear of God. And that's what, like, we see a little bit of a trace of that in this particular passage. So, a few aspects we want to learn from this particular story. The first thing is that deception precedes disobedience. Deception. We need to be aware of that. So just tell your neighbor, deception. So deception. So deception is like, so Saul thought, because we began with that, "I have obeyed." Whereas, like, it was not according to the word of the Lord. Now, Samuel had told Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites. Now, Amalekites had a history with Israel. When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, the Amalekites suddenly attacked Israel for no reason. And we would remember Moses' hands lifted up, you know, and they held Moses' hand so that, like, Joshua could fight and defeat the Amalekites. So that's what we see in Exodus 17. And God was so angry with the Amalekites that for no reason they attacked his people. God made a statement to Moses, and he said, "I will blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." He made a very strong statement. You will see that, like, in Exodus 70. And he said, "The Lord will be at war from generation to generation against the Amalekites." So there is a history to it. Why, in a sense, like, Samuel was telling, or the Lord was telling Samuel to completely destroy the Amalekites, their king and everything. Because, like, they had done something that was wrong. And hence, like, here we see Saul partially obeyed. And so it's a little bit disturbing and alarming when you know the history of the Amalekites and then what you're supposed to do, and yet you do not follow that. And so there is partial obedience from King Saul, but a strong confidence that I have done the right thing. So that's deception. You have disobeyed, you have brought down the standard of God, and yet you feel it's fine. And then he says, "I have done this to..." What are the things that he says? The AC is very strong and it can really put us to sleep. So we need to be a little bit talking to one another. Okay? So when he was confronted, what were some of the excuses that he gave? This, correct. Soldiers took. So he kind of like passed the blame to the soldiers. And then he's saying that, you know, "I have rescued these so that we may offer sacrifices, not to my God, to your God. Your God. Your God. To make your God happy." To make your God happy. So we want to kind of like, see, it's not just speaking about Saul. It is speaking to us also. So many times, like, our obedience is partial. And so many times we tend to pass the blame also. And many times we think, oh, this is for God and for God's purposes. And so God is not happy with that. And so that's what, like, so deception prevents us from coming to a place of conviction and repentance. Deception. Many times my wife will tell me, why you are angry? Like, you know, many times you are angry, you get angry very fast. So I'll say, then I'm angry. So she'll say, no, no, your tone is different. And I'll say, no, no, I was born with that tone. My tone is like that. You've not got used it. 20, you know, so many years, 2 decades we're married, more than 25 years we're married. That's my tone. So what is that? It is not the tone, it is deception. It is deception. So we all can bring down the standard of God, and still we can justify it because our eyes are closed. So that's why it's very important. Like, we were like some years back, we were doing a course, and in that course, like, there was a very good picture, you know? And that picture was that the author was saying that every day we need to be aware of God's holiness. You know? We need to be aware of God's holiness, and every day we need to be aware of our sinfulness also, you know? Our sinfulness. So God's holiness and our sinfulness. And we need to know that what can bridge the gap. So when we look at it, my goodness, God, your standard and my life, there is so much of a gap. And so we say, Lord, you know, it is impossible to live a righteous life, a life that is justified. And so that's why, Lord, I need Jesus. So the cross is the only thing that will bridge the gap between His holiness and our sinfulness. So that's why, in a sense, we need to sing the song of freedom every day, to seek God's victory over sin every day of our lives. So because it's only Jesus, you know, that will bridge that gap between His holiness and our sinfulness. And so then we are able to deal with deception. So we are deceived because we can bring down the standard of God's holiness. We are deceived because we can bring up, you know, our sinfulness. It's okay. God is fine. So we bring both those things down. And then we feel we are fine, like Saul. No, I have obeyed. That's deception. So we need to be careful about that. So it's only the cross, you know, that will bring us to a place of humility, brokenness, and repentance. We remember once again, like, the two thieves who were next to Jesus. And they were also hanging on the cross. But one thief said, if you call yourself Savior and King of the Jews, save yourself and save us also. But the other one on the cross, he said, we are paying for what we have done, but He is paying for nothing that He has done. And he says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. So, on the cross, he had a revelation of God's holiness and His sinfulness. And there was brokenness and repentance. And while he was dying also, there was brokenness and repentance. And so, that's what we want to pray for in our lives. That we would see Christ, and through Christ, we will see His holiness, His high standard, and we would see our sinfulness, and we will draw near to Him in brokenness and repentance. That's the way that we can deal with our deception. So I've just written down some things that we can be deceived by, and some of the things that we can say. Like, as I said, I'm not angry. So that can be deception. Then sometimes you can say, no, I am not overweight. Earlier, I used to tell my wife, what do you think? No, I'm not, I'm fit. And I would tell her that, see, they say that standing straight
if you can see your toes, no, then you're not fat.
She said, no, I'm not standing straight. You have to stand on the weighing scale. That will tell you. Stand straight on the weighing scale. Like, you know, the weighing scale will not lie. So, we need to... So, are we living... I'm not stingy. I'm just saying. I'm not stingy. I'm generous. What are you saying? I'm going the other side also. Okay? I'm not a shopaholic. What are you saying? How come you make a statement like that? Like, no? I'm crazily buying things. Like, no? What do you mean like? This is another one. I am not late always. How are you accusing me? I am punctual. Most of the times I'm punctual. So we need to ask ourselves, what are our excuses? What are we deceived by? No? So we need to ask ourselves, what is my deception? What are those things? It's very good to sing these songs and experience God's presence, celebration, and all that. But, you know, to bring ourselves to that place of brokenness and humility and say, Lord, deal with me. I want to change. So that, you know, that is freedom. That is freedom. That we are able to see the deception, deal with it, bring it to the cross, you know, experience this victory, and walk in freedom. Otherwise, like, we can walk in deception. So deception precedes disobedience. Just tell your neighbor, deception precedes disobedience. Just check with your neighbor. Is he angry or is she angry? No, okay. Sometimes, like, you know, when the word of God also comes, you know, then it really stirs us. We are not happy about it. So, okay, that's the first thing. The second thing that we also see is independence fuels disobedience. One is deception. Second is independence. Okay? Now, so Saul was told to do something, but he did something else. What he was saying is that I know better than God. Okay? No? So, I know better than God, and I know, you know, what is best for the nation also. For the people and the nation. So that's kind of very important. Independent spirit. Though you receive instruction, you do your own thing. We would also remember there was an angel in heaven, you know, with God. What was his name? Lucifer. So he also had the same spirit. He also, he was called the morning star. And this is what the prophet Isaiah speaks. Can somebody just read this for me? From where you are, just read it aloud.
I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I'll make myself like the most high.
Great. So here is, I mean, like the angel of God and the one who was handling worship and had a prominent position. But he said, like, I want to be like God, better than God, over God, and all that. So he refused to walk in submission to God's will and God's heart and wanted to be like God. He wanted to be power, act of independence, arrogance. And so that's what led him to his downfall. So he was thrown from the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness. In that sense, like, you know, thrown out, you know, of paradise. And so what we see Samuel telling Saul also is that, like, you know, like, disobedience is like idolatry, is a sin of divination. And so basically what he's saying is that, like, when we walk in disobedience, it's like we produce fruit of the kingdom of darkness. Idolatry, divination, arrogance, all those things are fruits of the kingdom of darkness. And it's a little bit, it's kind of like interesting to just see, like, when you produce fruit of the kingdom of darkness, then it comes out of independence, it also, like, you know, reveals in you yourself a love for your own self. Now, even, you know, after, like, you know, disobeying, Saul, you will see in that chapter, 1 Samuel 15, Saul makes a monument for himself. Okay, he makes a monument for himself. So, that is a little bit strange. So, he makes a monument for himself. What we can we see what are some other things that we see in Saul, even after disobedience? What are the other things that we see in Saul from the passage that we read? Any thoughts? One is like, he passed the blame. One, then the other thing he said is, it's for the Lord's offering. Anything else? Any other things? Pardon? Okay, he accepted. But was that, you know, complete repentance or partial repentance? What do you think? Partial? So there was repentance, but it was partial. Arrogance? Correct. He said, that's very serious. He builds a monument, he's disobeyed, and Saul, and Samuel tells Saul, no, I will not be with you. And when he turns around, he holds his garment. He was so desperate for people's approval. So many times, like independent spirit can lead us to a place of just loving self, approval of people, approval of God also, the wrong things. Anything else? Anything else we see? He tore his robe. And he's so desperate. And then later on, like towards the end of that passage, he says, you know, please honor me in the eyes of my elders. So he was kind of like seeking his name, his glory, you know, and his own kingdom. So that's why we see that his obedience was partial. His repentance was shallow. Okay? And he was worried about his image. And the tragedy was that then he lost everything. So deception and independence. You know, that independent spirit can cause us to lose everything. So we need to kind of like ask ourselves. Many times, like, we can make an idol of our own self. Okay, where it's all about us, our name, our glory, our image, our works. I'm just saying that many times, like, you know, I can be in ministry and make ministry all about myself. It's my people, you know, it's our finance, it's my vision. And so, if anybody or anything touches that, it kind of like disturbs. Few weeks back, like I was just having a chat with one of our people, one of the guys, like, and I was just explaining. We were talking about different departments, like where we worship or whatever. And then one of the things that I was saying was that, like, see, the most important thing that I also learned was this aspect of carrying the heart of another. That means, like, this is not my church. This is God's church. This is God's church, but I am also leading God's church as a steward on behalf of someone. So whatever we are ministry or our church, it's not my church. It's not my people. It is God's. And then also, there is a human representative. So, I look after people on behalf of God, and on behalf of someone who is above me as a steward. So I carry the heart of them. So then we break that power of possessiveness, you know, and that power of that independent spirit. And so what happens is that, like, when we are able to see God's grace in that, we become to live as His true sons. True son. That means that's a true son. We sang that song, If we live in disobedience, we live as a slave. So, when we live carrying his heart, carrying the heart of another, we live as a son. And then, there is grace in him to produce sons. Amen? We can produce sons. Otherwise, what will happen is that we'll keep producing slaves who will also have be possessive. So this is mine. I will do something of my own. That's what Lucifer had. That's the spirit of darkness. That's from the kingdom of darkness. So we need to ask. And so so that is about. Now, I just want to share something. Now, some years back, maybe about 10 or 12 years back, now, as I was looking after the church and all that, Virgil and Sandra would know, we have few social work ministries. We have something that they were really involved in, the street kids. We also have adult literacy. So adult literacy means the servants in the locality, they come to our pre-primary school setup every day between Monday and Friday, between 3 and 4, they come. And the teachers take classes for them. So they help these servants, different people who are helping out the neighborhood, to do their 10th, 12th, whatever. And we also serve lepers on Sunday. Sunday morning, about like 10 to 12, sometimes it goes to 20 also, we serve. You know, but I was also seeing that there are a lot of rag pickers there. So I was a little bit like passionate about that. I said like, we need to do something, which is like a good thing. So then, what I would do is that every Saturday, I got a team together, 3-4 people. Every Saturday, we would go on the streets of Colaba, and then we'll gather these rag pickers to come, and we'll serve them breakfast, either idli sambar or dosa sambar or whatever. And then, so I would make visits to their slum place to see how they're living and where are they staying. We have given them raincoats and chappals and so that like their footwear. So they are really very hardworking people. Right from, I don't know, like 5 o'clock they may start, and they will go on till 10 o'clock in the night. And they will go and sell whatever they have picked up, and they'll get about 150, 200 rupees. So one day, I was called by Pastor Stanley, my pastor. He said, like, what you're doing is good, but, I think like you are overdoing something. You need to know, what is God calling you to? Are you plunging yourself totally into social work? Or do you think spiritual lives of people matter and you need to focus there? So I also didn't like it very much. I was just like, I am doing good work. And it is helping. And I was so passionate. We would go up to Regal Cinema. From our church, go up to Regal Cinema to collect these people. Bring these people. But the problem was that only I was having the vision. The vision was not getting passed on to someone. So that is what he was concerned about. See, if there is someone to take it over, then it's good. But if you plunge yourself, already we have three. If you plunge yourself, you will lose what God is really calling you for. So with a big heart, heavy heart, I had to stop it. And we have not restarted it. Because we've not found someone. We do little bit. My wife does a little bit with some of the women. She calls them and gives them some plastic and all that. But we've not been able to have something consistent. So I was thinking that something good also can take us off. Something good. Because we feel that is right. We feel that will be helpful. When someone says or brings in a feedback, then we are able to see it in it. And I thank God for that. I thank God. So because it's not, we are not doing anything. We are doing something, but we can't go deeper and deeper. I need to know what has God called me for and focus on it and prioritize, on that. So all these things, I'm just saying, these things are like help. Or good things. Sometimes good things can also take us away. Good things just stir our independent spirit and and can take us away, can distract us from the purposes of God. See, C.S. Lewis, he says, I was not born to be free. I was born to adore and obey. Free means like my own freedom. That independent spirit. I can do what I want. No. I was born to adore and to obey. So, independence, you know, can lead us to, can fuel disobedience. So just turn to your neighbor, just tell your neighbor, independence can fuel disobedience. Yeah. I'm seeing that all of us are still smiling, like, no? Because these are like not very easy things, these are difficult. Okay, so deception and independence can lead to disobedience. So I want to ask us, you know, two or three questions which will kind of like maybe possibly help us. Now, how does accountability look for us? Accountability. Sometimes, like, you know, accountability can happen within the home also. Do we all agree? With spouses, with parents. So it's a good thing or a bad thing? Now, only wives are saying good thing. Yeah, because sometimes, like, I'm the man. I'm the one responsible. I'm the head of the house. And I have to be working. And I have to be thinking about it. No, it helps. It's for our protection. It's for our protection. So how does accountability? What's my posture towards feedback? What's my posture towards feedback? So many times, like, because our hearts are so hard, and our hearts are not postured to take feedback. Yes or no? What do you think? Feedback is very difficult. Very difficult to get. It just, you know, like an arrow, like a bullet comes in, strikes us. Very painful. It pains us, hurts us. We used to say that, like, some years when we had come to Colaba, as you were sharing, when we had come to Colaba, looking after the church, at that point of time, we just had one morning service. In the evening, we'll have a feedback time. That means, like, we will do a post-mortem of the morning service. No? Yeah? So we'll say, how was the hall decor? You know, were there pieces of paper here and there, bottles or whatever, like, you know? And then we'll say, okay, worship, how was worship? And somebody will say, no, the exhortation was a little bit long. It was a little bit like a message, so cut down. Like, you know, so then, like, you know, so they will all, then songs and all that. Then time for word. So then I often say that someone would say, Joe, you said, you know, 42 times. Finish. Then you get so angry at that person. You were listening to the message or, like, no, you were... Yeah, counting. Yeah, counting. What did you hear from God today? So Sunday night I will not get sleep. You know? So because all these, like, you know, negative feedback and all that, like, you know, but it was helpful for me. You know? So I would go to Stanley, like, wounded, like, you know, with all these, like, bullets and all. I'd go to him. So Stanley would say, "See, it's good, Joe, like, because." If you say you know many times, no? No, then people get distracted. Then they will leave the message. Yeah. Now somebody must be counting, I think. Now my wife counts another word, like. So, all these things are good for us. All these things are good for us. To get feedback. So that we correct ourselves. So the other thing is, like, how good a listener am I? How good a listener am I? Because many times, like, we want to speak. And we want to express. And we want to say things. But how good are we in receiving? hearing, stopping. So that is also like helpful. Now, so the first aspect was deception. The second aspect was independence. But there is liberty for us. Love leads to obedience. So it is always love. Love for our God and love for our Savior that will lead us to a place of obedience. Lead us to a place of walking with Him. Aligning ourselves to His ways. So we see that the first king of Israel was thinking that he had such a great opportunity. He was chosen from the least of the tribes of Israel. It was such a great opportunity to be a good model king. But he failed. And that was the story of many of the kings. That was the story of many of the kings. Till God brought his own son as a true king. Correct? Saul was told to destroy all the Amalekites, but Jesus, he destroyed himself to save us. He destroyed, and he was obedient completely. It was immediate, complete obedience, total obedience from Jesus. And it is not very easy. Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours. So it's interesting to just see that Saul said, I will. Lucifer said, I will. And Jesus said, your will. And may we all find a place to say, Lord, your will. Because in Christ is grace to say, Lord, your will. Not my will, but your will. So that's what like John 14:15 says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. So what helps us to walk in obedience? It's not discipline. It's not habits. It's not anointing also. Sometimes we say, oh, anointing can help us to live in obedience. No, it's not anointing also. It is loving our God, loving our Savior. So when I was thinking about when I left the hand of my cousin, it's like holding on to the Father's hand. Just holding on to the Father. Because you know, we may get distracted by so many things and we may want to let go. We may think that is better. We may think I know what's better. And we may go off on our own track. When we experience His love, then when we experience His love, we are saying, I'm holding on to my Father, and in Him is all joy, is all pleasure, is all freedom, true freedom. That is false freedom. True freedom is here, holding on to Him, because I love Him, and I will be fulfilled in Him, and find my joy, my peace, and my rest in Him. So walking in obedience is not about discipline, willpower, habits, or even anointing. And today, you know, we have grace in Him. We have grace in Him to walk in obedience because Jesus did it for us. When we trust in Jesus, who said, your will be done, we have grace in Him to also say, your will for His pleasure, for His glory. So then we become people who are not self-centered and selfish like Saul. We become people who are concerned about His name, His kingdom, His glory. And all that we would do would be for His name alone. And so, you know, the last question like that we need to ask ourselves is, what are our heart affections? What do we really love? Right? We know that it's difficult to love God consistently in a genuine and pure way. Many times our hearts are distracted. So what are our heart affections? Is it work? Many times we love work. Yes or no? So we're so passionate. And we're so glad to just start working. And there is such a fulfillment that's there. It's all good. But many times those good things also can take us away. Can take us to a place of emptiness and restlessness. What is it? Entertainment. Today's, you know, world is entertainment. What is my heart affection? Is it entertainment? Is it money? Sometimes like our pursuit is to have money. Because that gives me a sense of satisfaction, security, fulfillment, and pleasure. What is my heart affection? So this morning we just want to pray that we would be people who say, Lord, your will. And we would be people who say, Lord, I love you and I want to hold on to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just pray and then we're going to have breaking bread. I'll just pray for us. Father, we want to, Lord, just thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that as your people, we will learn to walk in obedience by loving you. Lord, we want to this morning confess and say that many times we are deceived. And we don't want to see the bad things in our hearts. We don't want to see the muck in us. We are deceived, yet we may feel we are fine. And so we pray that in your grace, Lord, may you bring us to a place of brokenness and humility and repentance so that, Lord, we are able to have that, Lord, real walk with you, a walk of freedom with you. Lord, we pray, help us to carry your heart. Help us to carry, Lord, the heart of someone who is above us so that we would grow as good stewards, that we would not wander off, Lord, with that independent spirit. Lord, we pray for your anointing and your grace to rest upon us, that we would hold on to you and walk with you and so, Lord, experience fulfillment and joy and flourish in all that you have called us to. We commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Uncle, for this wonderful message on obedience. I'll call the